This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community, and I can honestly say it is the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who's listened to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Over the Influence. This is the Young and Sober Takeover. We take over at the end of every month. We've got myself, Charlie. I am 24. I'm a master's student at the University of Liverpool. And I've been sober for almost a year and a half, coming up to a year and a half. I just, you know, I was a classic party girl and just felt like drinking wasn't really doing any favours for me. Got myself into trouble a few times and thought I could be my best self without drinking, and it turns out I can. And I'm here with lovely, handsome Joey. Hi, Joey.
Stop it. Hello. Thank you very much for that introduction. I'm Joey, 26. I also study at University of Liverpool. That's how we met. And yeah, we're young and sober. We talk about being sober, being a young person, being sober. Let's get right to it. Why not? What are we talking about today?
Well, how long have you been sober, Joey? Come on, it's very impressive.
It's coming up to 3 years. Almost three years. It's like a couple of months away from 3 years. Thank you.
That's amazing. You did your 1,000 days recently, right?
Yeah, I hit 1,000 days. I'm in the One Comma Club.
I'm not in the One Comma Club yet, sadly.
You'll get there, man.
I will get there. So today we're going to be talking about triggers, feeling fucking triggered, and tools to deal with those triggers.
That's exactly it. What triggers people to want to drink if you're sober, or if you're thinking about going sober and you're something's in your way, you're not sure what it is, something in your life might be a trigger to make you drink. Let's talk about all those possible triggers, and let's talk about all the possible tools and how we deal with them.
Well, do you want to hear a little funny thing? So basically I'm writing a book at the moment. Well, I've written a book, and I have got a little section about being triggered. I thought I'd just read this little poem.
It's called
Fucking Triggered.
All right, this will be good.
Karen's over there doing her Mariah Carey impression. This doesn't feel like it's at my discretion. Steve's spouting propaganda in the face of Mary. She looks paler than ever. It's really quite scary. Is it just me or did it get really hot in here? When I said Diet Coke, was I totally clear? I don't remember pubs smelling this fucking strong. All of my clothes itch. Everything's wrong. The music's too loud. I can't hear anything. I feel like my sobriety needs intense defending. I'm fucking triggered. I'm going home. Is there anybody that I can call on the phone? I arrive at my house and feel pissed off at the world. What's the fucking point? Everything's absurd.
Oh, lovely. Such a welcoming, heartwarming poem. We love it.
Yeah, but haven't you felt that?
That's actually
well
written, though. Yeah, of course I felt that. Yeah, that's very relatable. I get it. That's very nice.
And, you know, we will get onto the positive stuff and the ways that we can deal with that. Of course, that's why we're talking about triggers in the first place. But there is that feeling of just like feeling fucked off, feeling like you want to drink or like you miss drinking or like you're left out in some way. And just, you know, you feel hot or agitated or angry. And I think it's worth mentioning that because I think most sober people have experienced it at one point or another, whether it's like someone's really drunk, like telling you a story and you're getting really bored of their shit, or you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah, it definitely happens. It happens a lot. Like, obviously, like we mentioned before, we're uni students as well. There's lots of stress when you're a uni student. Exam season at the moment, there's lots of work to be done. That can be a trigger for a lot of people. Tell me about it, mate. Tell me about it. But, you know, two exams down, two to go. Woo! We're dealing with it. We're dealing with it.
Yeah, I think the thing about uni is, like, in my head, I'm like, I don't really mind. It's not the end of the world if I get a bad mark, but my body, I just feel stress in my body. I feel so much stress. And it's not only uni, but, like, as a master's student, you know, you don't get a loan. So you're kind of juggling work, trying to make, you know, money. Money's okay as well. And there's unforeseen things that happen, like things happen in life, like difficult things happen along the way. And all of these can come together at once. And you just find yourself feeling sort of incredibly stressed. And that used to be a prime time for me to drink.
Absolutely, it used to be a prime time for me to drink. I remember, so obviously this is my second time going to university. The first time I dropped out, mostly because of drinking, smoking too much and all the rest of it. But I remember this one time where, like, I had so many assignments due and I was really stressed out and all I wanted to do was drink and just go out and all the rest of it. And I decided to submit a blank Word document as my assignment. But what I did was I, like, sort of edited, like, the code behind it. I don't know how I learned to do that, but I did. And this meant that when you opened it, it couldn't open, right? So, like, you opened it and it said, error, can't open. So I sent that to, like, my lecturer and he couldn't open it. So he sent, and he didn't know who it was because it's all, like anonymous.
Anonymous, yeah.
Yeah. So he sent out an email to everyone on the course saying, like, urgent, one of the documents can't open. And I was like, shit, what am I going to do? So what I did was drink. I went out and I just forgot about it. And then I obviously had another day to do it. Like, I emailed him saying, oh, that was me. I can't believe it. How did this happen? I have no idea. Like, just proper playing it like that. And yeah, I got another day to do it. But I just spent that day drinking as well. It really wasn't a good thing to do to help cope with exams and stress and uni life and all the rest of it.
No, you just try. You think, oh my God, I'm in the weeds here. What am I meant to do? And the thing that makes you feel better is having a drink. But then ultimately, that is not the solution to the problem.
Nah, believe it or not, that's why we're here. Yeah,
believe
we're here
it to tell or you not, it's not the yeah. Solution. Another yeah. time I often feel triggered is kind of around celebrations, which sounds really depressing.
No, but I know what you mean.
Like Christmas, birthdays, all that, or even just like not proper celebrations, but just like hanging out with your friends and family. You know, you want to be having a fun time. These are meant to be like nice times in your life, but actually you're feeling a bit left out and you feel like you kind of don't fit in and certain family members are pissing you off or whatever.
It's just expected, isn't it? Like, oh, let's go out for food. Oh, and let's drink. Like every single time, well, almost every single time, I've arranged to go for a meal with some friends and we look at the menu in advance. Oh, what food is there? But then the deciding factor in what restaurant or cafe or bar that we go to is always like, oh, but what's the alcohol like? You know, that are there two for one cocktails? Is it happy hour at the moment? Like, why is that such a big thing? We're going out for food and then
food.
The alcohol yeah. is like the most important factor here. It's like, okay.
Oh man, yeah, that was when I was drinking and I'd go out for food. The alcohol would 100% be the main focus for me. And to the point where I'd like, you know, I'd spend money on food, but I wouldn't even really look forward to it or like enjoy it because I was mostly focused on the drinking.
Yeah, it was like you would eat so that you could drink even more. So it didn't matter what the food was. You were just doing that so you could keep drinking.
Literally. I remember a time. So I was with my family and some friends. And I think this was actually before I was sober. So I wasn't probably sober, but I was having a break from drinking because, you know, I knew it wasn't doing me any favors. Yeah, I think I had some alcohol-free wine and I was just trying to, you know, get in the spirit of things. I think it wasn't Christmas, it was like around Christmas time. So everyone's lots of festivities, that kind of thing. And I remember just thinking as everyone got drunker and drunker, I was like, oh, I'm just so bored and pissed off. And like I was just not enjoying it at all. And the thing was like, I enjoy hanging out with all of those people when we're sober, like 100%. Like we get on really well. I spend a lot of time with those people. But when people get drunker, you realize they're actually being a bit annoying. And it's not like I heard this somewhere, like it's not that you get more interesting when you're drunk. It's just that your threshold for like boring bullshit goes up. So like you can tolerate yeah. more boring stuff. Like So you, when you're sober and you're listening to a load of drunk people talking about literally the most boring stuff, or like not even making sense, or slurring their words, or changing from topic to topic, or playing a game that's not even fun, and it's like, oh, I realized I didn't get more interesting when I was drinking. I actually just, like, my threshold for bullshit went up. Like,
You know what it's like? It's like being at the zoo. You're just, like, watching, like, random animals do random things. And it's like, this is all right, but what's going on right now? What is actually happening right now?
Yeah.
It's the people. We're not at the zoo. Should this be happening? But you're obviously the only sober one there, so your threshold for bullshit is just lower than everyone else's. And then when you're drunk, your threshold for bullshit just goes up.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so funny what you say about the zoo. It's quite funny. I was talking to one of my friends recently, and she was saying, like, she's never known what any of her friends are like drunk, because, like, she's always been drunk as well. And that was something that I really noticed when I got sober, was that I now know what my friends are like when they're drunk, because I'm not drunk. And whenever I'd hang out with them and they were drinking before, obviously I was drunk as well. So, like, you notice it, but you don't notice it, like, to the extreme level. And it's so funny, Tom came home the other day after the football quite drunk, and I was just like, it was just hilarious, to be honest. I was just like, I've, like, because he doesn't really drink either, to be fair. But this one day he was, like, a little bit drunk, and I was just like, it's weird, like, I've hardly ever seen you drunk. And believe me, before I got sober, we drank together, like, a lot of times, which just goes to show I was always the more pissed one than him.
Yeah. That's why you don't remember him being the one who was drunk. It was you, the one that was more drunk.
And I feel like we're coming into summer now as well, which is great.
Yeah, that's
it's
a
like
good, point.
Good weather.
Mm-hmm.
But with summer comes a lot of drinking, like a lot of drinking.
Yeah, there's beer gardens, there's events, concerts, festivals, there's all sorts of stuff going on, and there's always a drink in someone's hand while you're there. And it is a bit daunting, because it's summer, you want to go outside, you want to have fun, you want to party with your friends. There's no school, there's no uni, like, you've got breaks off work, you can go on holidays and do all sorts of stuff. And then also everyone's drinking, or it feels that way anyway. So it's like,
it
how,
does
what
feel
do that
way
that?
Yeah. And I think the thing is, like, what you have to learn is that all of those good summer times are not the same thing as alcohol. Like, that really held me back for a long time, like, thinking that beer gardens, good weather, festivals, concerts, they were the same as alcohol in my head. Like, they, like beer garden equals alcohol, or like sitting in the park equals alcohol. And it's like, they're entirely different things. Like, they're not the same thing.
Yeah,
you can
you
still
absolutely
enjoy all of those things without them. Like,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're not triggering as well. Like, they can, you know, because so many people drink on them. At those kinds of occasions, it's like they remind you of the times that, you know, you used
yeah but
to drink.
It's funny though, really, like, just something that came to my mind, like, over summer a lot of people go on holidays to different countries and whatnot, and they end up doing basically the exact same thing they were doing in this country. Like, they're just drinking somewhere.
Oh my god.
You know what
yeah
I mean? It's like, can we just do something else? Like, I remember when I went on holiday once, I went paragliding, and it was awesome. I would absolutely have not enjoyed that if I was drunk by any means. Like, I would, like, I was literally strapped to a guy in the front, and he said to me, okay, we're at the top of a mountain. And I was like, yeah, I gathered that. We just drove like 2 hours up here. And he's like, do you see that cliff at the end of it? And I was like, what, the one with the 6,000 foot drop at the end? Yeah, I see it. He's like, okay, jump. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Woo!
Just run and jump. And I was like, all right. If I was drunk, I would have thought he was joking. Like, nah, there's no way. I'm like, you had to proper run as well. You know what I mean? You couldn't just like pussyfoot off the edge. You had to leg it, mate. And if I was drunk, I just would have not been able to do it, let alone enjoy it.
Or enjoy it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you don't enjoy those kinds of things. Like, I think that all the most amazing things about summer, and like, I love things that seem like they sparkle, you know, and that's like what my book is mostly about, basically the fact that we think that alcohol adds this magical thing to our lives, but actually there are so many magical things out there, including doing something crazy like that, and they don't, they're not the same as alcohol, they're just not.
Yeah.
And like the football as well, like I'm not hugely into football, but quite a few of my friends are, and I like, you know, going to like, I like it when it's like the World Cup and stuff, you know, everyone's having a good time ever. It's quite fun. But it's the Champions League final coming up. Oh, yeah. Actually, when this comes out, it might have already happened. But it's this weekend, and I'm kind of worried because I'm going to this event, and it's going to be really fun. Like, if Liverpool win, the whole city is going to be absolutely crazy.
Yeah, when Liverpool win, it is going to be
when Liverpool win, it's going to be crazy. And I can't wait in a way, but then at the same time, it's going to be so boozy. It's in this big, it's in Invisible Win Factory, so it's going to be like a big event. Going to be people probably on drugs, drinking, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get beer probably spilt all over me. And like, I'm nervous about it. Like, that's going to be a really big trigger for me, because especially in like kind of football type situations, like that is, they go hand in hand with drinking. But then at the same time, I want to see that. Like, I want to like be in the crowd when everyone's like screaming and stuff and find that. But it can be triggering. It can be super overwhelming and loud and crowded. And I don't know how I'm going to handle that, but I'll keep you updated.
You'll handle it well. We all know you've got this. You're a role model to many.
Thanks,
you've got
Jerry.
This. Yeah, but it is true though, especially when there's loads of people around you and you see it everywhere. Sometimes it can be triggering for a lot of people, and it's perfectly reasonable to feel that way. It's perfectly understandable. But somewhere else where you see it a lot as well is social media. So many people post like, this is what I'm drinking, I'm on a night out, I'm in this place, and you see it everywhere you look on social media. It seems as though you see it everywhere you look. And again, it's like, if you don't partake in that, there's a lot of FOMO, and people like glamorize the drinking aspect of it all. And it can be quite triggering for a lot of people just to sit at home scrolling through social media, and then you keep seeing everything that you would be seeing if you were out on a night out.
Yeah. No, I found this a lot actually, even in my drinking days. Social media made me want to drink more, because if my friends were out and I could see that on social media, you do have this feeling like you're missing out, and you're like, you know, I might have had an exam the next day or something, but you see all your friends are out and it's like, oh, I want to go out and have fun. I want to be part of that. And then inevitably I fuck up my exams.
Yeah.
I think it is a real kind of problem in social media. And also on social media, there's so many like ads and like media portrayals of alcohol, and they're mostly all positive. Like, something else I talk about in my book. Sorry, I keep talking about my book today.
Are you writing a book? I have no idea, mate.
Shut up. Actually, I've written a book and I've signed a contract, so it's actually going to be a thing now.
Is right. Yes, you are.
It's just a matter of time, so just keep your eyes peeled for that. There is a bit which I talk about, you know, the kind of portrayal of alcohol in ads and in media and stuff. And even now, like for example, I think it was Guinness did an ad like just after lockdown, and the first bit is like lockdown scenes, like empty streets and like doing mundane things like doing the washing and like all just like lockdowny stuff, and then at the end was like people finally being able to see each other and like hug each other, and then obviously it zoomed in on a pint of Guinness as though seeing your friends after a pandemic is the same as a pint of Guinness, and it's like, those are not the same thing. Stop trying to tell me that they are the same thing.
Yeah, it's really weird when you see advertisements for alcohol, especially ones with vodka, like Smirnoff, because it's like all these fancy people dressed in suits in a nice bar, and they're just casually sipping vodka, when in reality, it's just like some 18-year-old drunk in a park, and they're just like messy. And you know what I mean? It's a really like messy scene, but the adverts make it seem like, oh, this is so fancy and sophisticated. Like, no.
But yeah, I think I find all those things quite triggering, both when I was drinking and even still now. I actually, do you want to know a really funny story? Well, it's not really funny. It's actually quite annoying.
Go on.
But a story about when I was feeling especially triggered. I can't remember what exactly was happening. Oh yeah, there was football on, and Tom went to the football, and he'd gone with some friends, and I was just chilling at home, and I was like, oh, have a nice day out in town, go to the cinema. And as I was walking through town, everyone was drinking. There were people falling over drunk, people chanting, people shouting, like people pushing into me. And I was just like, fuck this, man. Like, I feel so triggered right now. Like, I was just getting so annoyed. And I knew Tom was at the football, probably getting drunk as well, which, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but when you're feeling triggered, it's like everything is just so overwhelming. So I was like, I'm gonna go to the cinema. Went to the cinema, had a lovely time at the cinema. Come back out of the cinema, it's even worse. It's like absolute crazy in town. Everyone's falling over. Everyone's just drunk. People trying to talk to me drunk. Like, I can smell it on them. Just like so many things triggering me.
Oh, that is the worst. I hate that so much. When someone's talking to you and they're really close to you and they can just... They stink.
Yeah.
There's only one way to say it. They just think you can smell it on their breath. It's like, please,
yeah,
please,
and you know,
look
how,
away from me.
You know how like certain smells like really take you back to a memory? Like, I've got certain perfumes and stuff that I wore when I was like going out with a certain guy or something, and I'll spray it and I'm like, it just takes you back, doesn't it, to that moment. So when I smell like vodka on someone's breath, it takes me back to those times, and I'm like, bro, I don't want to be taken there. Please do not take me there. And so anyway, after I went to the cinema, I went to meet Tom and his friends, and it was in this really, like, it was, like, quite a nice pub, but because the football had been on, all of the, like, everyone had gone there after the football, and it, like, absolutely stank like beer, it stank like fags, like, people were packed, it was absolutely packed in there, it was very rowdy, and I was just like, I absolutely cannot be here. I said a quick hello to Tom, and I was just like, I'm really sorry, I have to go. And I went to the cinema again.
Right, there you go. That's a great thing. Like, it's perfectly reasonable to think, nope, I can't be here. I'm going to go do something else.
Exactly. Which kind of brings us on to talk about tools, ways that you can deal with things and things that you can do when you are feeling triggered, because it does happen. And it is one of the more annoying sides about sobriety, but... the way I try to think about it is like, it doesn't make me, when I'm triggered, I don't necessarily want to drink. I just wish the people around me weren't drinking, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of a good way to think of it. It's like, it's not that I'm dying for a pint right now. It's just I wish that I could be in an environment having fun with my mates where this wasn't such a big part of it.
Exactly, exactly. But let's talk about more positive stuff. So let's get into the tools.
Let's do it. We've done all like the negative, crazy things. Let's be more positive now, more uplifting.
Yeah. How can we deal with the negative stuff? What tools do we have? How can we implement them into our lives?
Well, we talked about social media being a sort of negative thing before, because you see so many people posting like photos of them drinking, videos of them on a night out and whatnot. But it can also be really good too. There are so many accounts out there specifically to do with being sober and sober curious and just alcohol free life, and they are absolutely fantastic. Like, list some of them. We've got a list. What are they, Charlie?
So, I don't know if you've ever heard of this one, but it's called Over the Influence.
I've never heard of that. That sounds fantastic. You know what? The first time I heard of it, this sounds like the greatest alcohol-free podcast in the world.
Yeah, there's a podcast, there's an Instagram, there's a community that you can join, overtheinfluence.co.uk. But yeah, obviously we have actually heard of that. But there's also Sober Girl Society. Sober Girl Society actually... Millie Gooch is the founder of it, and it really helped me in my very, very first, I think I actually discovered it before I went sober, and it was one of the things that made me realize that you could be a young, fun person without drinking. I think that was, you know, the first time I ever really thought of that.
Yeah, I really like that account. Like, that account, like, I follow it, and they posted something recently where it was a post saying there are lots of festivals over summer and whatnot. If you want to go to a festival, but you're worried about so many people drinking and stuff, leave a comment down below of where you're going to go and if you want other people who are sober to join you. It was that sort of vibe. Yeah. That was basically what the post was saying. And I thought that was so lovely.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. Just imagine meeting someone through social media going, oh, I also want to go to a festival, but I also don't want to drink. Oh my fucking God, me too. Let's go. That's a fantastic vibe.
Literally. And that is the thing about the Zooms and stuff we've had on Over the Influence. Like, people have met up from like... who live in a similar area, or even people travel to meet each other. I know there's like a lot of sober events, especially in like London, in Liverpool, and the thing about the sober community is that like they're so friendly, and like they obviously that's a generalization, but from my experience, like, sober people want to hang out and meet other sober people. Like, they want to make friends. Like, you don't seem like a weirdo if you just slide into someone's DMs and say, hey, I'm sober, like, do you want to hang out, like, we live near each other, like, do you know what I mean? I just don't think that, it doesn't seem weird, does it?
Yeah, believe it or not, we like having fun too. We like having friends too. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? No, but you know what I mean. Like sometimes
I know exactly
it seems
what you mean.
Weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's, we've got a bit more of a list. We've got Sober Black Girls Club, which is a great Instagram page. Love them. Be Sober Collective. They do a lot of events and meetups and stuff like that. I don't know if they've got, I think they've got them all around the world, but there's definitely a Liverpool one as well. Another place that I like to look at stuff is on Reddit. I don't know if anyone uses Reddit, but there's r/stopdrinking. But there's also loads of pages related to alcohol and
there's
stuff.
There's just loads of shit on Reddit. It's fantastic.
Reddit's great. Reddit's great. No matter how niche your interest, yeah, you can find friends on Reddit. Like, there's the Sober Curious podcast with Ruby Warrington. Sober in Seattle is a bit of a meme page. Oh, there's a really good meme page. I can't remember the name of it. But oh my God, I absolutely love sober memes. They absolutely crack me up.
They're fucking hilarious, aren't they? I fucking love them. Like literally, I'll follow so many accounts now on Instagram. And it's just like when everyone else is drinking and you're the only sober person there. And you know, like The Simpsons, the principal would look down and just go, pathetic. You know that meme? It was just fucking brilliant.
But yeah, I think for me, it just really helped me in those early stages, surrounding myself with other sober people, because I felt so lonely in the first few months. Like, I didn't know anyone that was sober, really. And that does suck. Like, because nobody, you don't have anyone who understands. Like, when you have sober friends, like, I could call you, Joey, if I was, like, in a club or something, or, like, at a bar and be like, I'm freaking out right now, like, you know what I mean?
I would be there in 5 minutes.
Literally. And it's so nice having those people in your life. And those people are out there. Like, they really are out there. Yeah. So speaking of people, I guess we've got to talk about people in your life, the sort of triggering people that might be in your life.
Oh God, yeah. No, it's a good point to make. You do have to talk about it at some point, especially like we just mentioned with social media. Like, distancing yourself from people and cutting out toxic people can be a different thing to do, but social media can actually be a good way to do that. If there's someone on social media that you're following and they're always posting pictures or videos of them drinking on nights out, and even if this person's like a really good friend of yours, it's not the end of the world if you just decide to go, nah, I'm gonna unfollow that person.
Yeah,
like not long into my sober journey, I was following hundreds of people that I just didn't give a shit about, low key.
Yeah.
So I just unfollowed like about 200 people and no one said anything. Not one of them messaged me going, hey, why did you unfollow me? It's not like they get a notification going, Joey unfollowed you. What a
exactly,
bitch. Message
him,
tell him. You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely fine if you think to yourself, I love this person, they're friends, I'm friends with them, but I don't really want to follow them on social media because I just don't want to see so much drinking culture on my social media.
And I think people, and if the worst comes to the worst and they do message you and say, hey man, why have you unfollowed me? you can just say the truth. Like, look, I love you, I care about you or whatever, but I think I need some distance from you because I find it really hard, you know, looking at your page when I know you're drinking. It might make you feel a bit left out or a bit just triggered or whatever, but I think most people would understand, especially if they're your friend. And if they don't understand that as a reason, then maybe you ought to think about not having them as a friend. Exactly.
But at the same time, there are some people that you do want to keep in your life even if they do drink, and that's absolutely fine. Like, a lot of people are understanding. Most of my friends still drink, still go out. It's absolutely fine. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to cut out every single person in your life that drinks in order to make it being sober or alcohol free. There's a lot of middle ground in between cutting out everyone.
Yeah, there's loads of middle ground. Like, I'm in a relationship with someone who drinks, and he doesn't drink much, to be fair. Like, if I don't think it would be very well, like, we'd be very well suited if he drank like I used to drink, for example. Yeah. I don't think that would work very well. But, you know, there's boundaries, and like, you can have these conversations with people, even if they're a friend, and say, you know, I love you, like, and I totally respect that you drink. That's your life. That's your thing. But I can't do X, Y, Z, or I can't come to X, Y, Z place. Like, boundaries are important. And if people care about you, they will listen. And as long as you don't, you know, come across like a complete dick, like, you're a shit, you drink alcohol, you know.
yeah, don't do that. that's definitely not gonna help.
Obviously we want to keep the people in our life that we care about, but it is okay to cut people out and distance yourself from people. Like, it just is, like, that happens. You grow apart from people as you're getting older. I think especially as a young sober person, it can feel really sad, you know, because your life is very much centered around your friends, so it can feel sad when you grow apart from people, but ultimately that is part of life.
Yeah, like, you're not best friends now with the people you were best friends with in primary school, are you?
Yeah, well, you might happens. Be, but... Well,
if you are, that is lovely.
Yeah.
But it's more expected not to be. You grow, you both grow. We go in different directions, we take different paths, and that's absolutely fine. It's a part of life.
Exactly. And, you know, in terms of the people you do want to keep in your life, I think... the way to deal with that when you're feeling triggered is to have a response prepared, like, especially if you're in early sobriety, have a response prepared for when they ask you why you're not drinking or when they offer you a drink, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I did that unknowingly. Like, I always had a response, like, I know I can do better in my life. I want more out of my life. I know I can do better, and I know that this is in the way, so I'm not doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, like, what makes it so respectable. I'm being assertive. That's what it's all about. I'm being assertive. When you're out with friends and you're a bit flaky, you're like, oh, I don't know, I just don't kind of want to drink and all that sort of stuff. That's when it's easy for someone to pressure you.
Yeah. Because
they're thinking to themselves, ooh, this person's on the fence. I can sway them to go this way. But if you're being more assertive and going, absolutely no, I'm not crossing that fence. I'm not going to cross that line. Then they won't even bother. They'll just be like, all right, fair enough.
Exactly. Like, if you come in strong with a reason, no matter what that reason is, it could literally be anything. Like, I'm not drinking because I'm training for a marathon. I'm not drinking because, you know, whatever X, Y, Z reason. Or I'm just sober now, I don't drink anymore. Like, I've had so few people, you know, people might have offered me a drink, but once I say, sorry, I don't drink, people rarely come back to that, you know. If you're assertive in the way you say it, people are like, oh, right, fair. I think it's much more difficult when you're like, oh, well, I'm kind of trying to cut down or not drink at the moment because of this. You know, when you don't give that reason, when you're just kind of obviously on the fence, it makes it, you're much easier target, you know?
Yeah, like, I remember one time I was out with some friends. Only one of them I'd met before. Everyone else I'd never met before. So they obviously didn't know that I was sober at this point, because it's not like I just go around broadcasting it, wearing it on my t-shirt.
Lol,
anything.
You do.
Tell me about it. But I went, and one person who was there bought everyone a shot of Zambuca, and Zambuca used to be my least favorite drink as well, so it was just even worse for me.
Yeah.
It's like, not only are you buying me alcohol, but my worst kind of alcohol. But I straight away, like, she put it down in front of me and was like, take it, and I was like, nope, I don't drink, and I just instantly gave it back to her, and she didn't question it whatsoever. Like, it's perfectly normal for you to think, oh, if I say no, but they've bought this for me, they've wasted their money, I feel bad. Like, listen, it's okay to feel that way, but at the end of the day, you've got to do what's best for you.
Yeah.
You need to know that this is more important for you.
That's so true. I'm such a people pleaser, I think. And if someone did that for me, bought me a drink or bought me a shot, like, it has happened. And I'm such a people pleaser. I want to be like, oh, thank you so much. Because they obviously think they're doing a nice thing. But, like, for example, when we were in Athens, they bought a little shot, just like a little free shot at the end of the meal, which obviously is a really nice, you know, little added thing at the end of the meal. They're trying to be nice. And I was obviously like, well, I can't drink that. But it was fine. I just, you know, I just gave mine to Tom. It was all good. Like, you can find your way around it, even if you are a people pleaser. But I think a good thing to keep in mind with the people around you is, tell them, like, whether it's your friends or your family or whoever you spend time with, tell them that you're not drinking for however long you're not drinking, because whilst you're accountable, you know, they will be much more supportive. Like, if you say, no, I'm not drinking for at least a month or 3 months, like, maybe one or two people will try and sway you, but a lot of people will have your back. And if you're like, oh, I might have a drink, they'll be like, no, you said you weren't going to, you know. And it's that accountability that's important.
Yeah, that's really true. I remember when I first decided to go sober, I messaged a lot of my friends saying, this is me now. I'm sober now, bitch. I'm not doing this anymore. And there were times where I'd message them and I'd say, hey, are you on a night out? Because I'm thinking of joining. And instead of being like, yes, come on out with us. Like, let's do it. Let's get drunk. Let's have fun. They were like, are you sure, bro?
Yeah.
Are you, you know, like, I remember you were really assertive when you first said to me, I'm sober now, bitch. Like, they, you know, I came across quite strong because I was being strong. And now that, you know, it's perfectly normal to have a bit of a wobble, especially early in your sober journey, which at this point it was for me. But instead of being all pressury and saying, yeah, come on out, let's get drunk, let's get wasted, let's do all this stuff, they were like, are you sure, man? Because I remember you saying this. And that, like, really helped me put myself in check and think, you know what, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. So it is really, really helpful to just tell people.
Definitely. And Tom was really good to me for that, to be fair. I remember in, so it started off with me doing Dry January, and in that Dry January, probably around the 25th or something, Tom and his dad were having a glass of wine, and I could just, like, smell the red wine, and I was just like, oh, I'd really like a glass of wine right now. And I was like to Tom, like, oh, you know, might just have a glass of wine, because I told him, like, don't let me do that under any circumstances. He was like, no, come on, you've come this far, like, you're gonna, you're smashing it, like, no. And I was like, oh, okay, fine then. So actually, sometimes, obviously, sometimes your friends pressure you into it, but sometimes telling your friends helps them pressure you out of it when you're having a wobble.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the key is to just tell them. Don't be on the fence, oh, maybe I should drink, maybe I'm not. Try your best to be assertive. It can be difficult for a lot of people, but you don't even need to give a reason. You can just say, no, I don't want to drink tonight. And if, as long as you sound strong, people will be like, okay. Like, they're not, I don't think most people will go out of their way to be a dick about it, is basically what we're trying to say.
Yeah, definitely.
It's Shaz from OTI. I'll only keep you a minute. I just wanted to let you know, as well as an extra weekly premium podcast being included as part of a monthly membership with us, and face-to-face Zoom calls, and being able to chat privately to fellow community members, we also bring you the very best inspiring and motivational masterclasses, which are held by some incredible guests from the AF and well-being world. We have had best-selling authors, musicians, adventurers, some of the biggest names in the whole alcohol-free sphere, giving their time to help you change your relationship with alcohol. These are exclusively just for you as part of your membership. It costs you £20 a month, and you can find out more about what we do at overtheinfluence.co.uk.
What would you say about dealing with triggers when you're sort of out and about, like in the club or in a bar or at a wedding, or, you know, like kind of alcohol focused environments? Like what kind of tools do you have to deal with those situations?
There's a number of things that you could do, but honestly, I think, so you don't have to do this, but one thing which really helps me is just knowing that I can leave if I want. I don't have to be here. No one's forcing me to be here against my will. And just telling myself that really helps to get through it. It doesn't necessarily mean, yeah, fuck this, I'm definitely leaving and I'm running away in a panic. But just telling myself, I don't have to be here. I can leave if I want.
Makes no one's feel... holding a gun to your head saying,
exactly. It makes me feel so much more comfortable. Like, I can just go in my little corner, you know? I can stay here if I want, or I can leave if I want. I have that option. It's under my control.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm quite a highly sensitive person. I have various sort of sensory issues, let's say. And so I can struggle with overstimulation and crowds and loud noises. Actually, I think that was part of the reason why I like to drink so much, because, like, I am a sociable person. I do like to socialize, but I am also extremely sensitive. And in those kinds of rowdy environments, like, that's a lot for me to handle, you know? And what I've found is that you don't have to just like push that part of yourself away and try and be this really tough, non-sensitive person, because some people just are sensitive people. But, you know, it's about figuring out more healthy ways to deal with those moments when you're feeling sensitive. To give some examples, like I have these earplugs where the background noise is kind of blocked out, but I can still hear people talking to me. And I find that really helpful because it's not, you know, too much noise at once. And I also have like a lot of grounding tools that I've learned for when I'm panicking. And I have this little, it's called like a pulse point roller, but it's basically an essential oil in a little rolly thing, and you roll it on your wrist and you can smell it, and it just kind of, you know, gives you that grounding kind of calming feeling. I've also got a lot of fidget toys for when I'm feeling like I need to do something with my hands.
Now, having something to fidget with definitely does help, because if you're out in a club and you're not drinking and there's nothing in your hand, it can kind of feel a bit awkward. Like, what do I do with my hands right now? So something that I like to do is, you know how like in, okay, I don't know if there's one of these in the women's bathroom or not, but in the men's bathroom of clubs, there's always one dude that works there selling lollipops and shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like every single time I go to a club, I'll get a lollipop just because that's something to do in my hand.
Yeah.
Like I can have something in my hand. I can put it in my mouth, like exactly like you do if you're drinking. You're actually using your hands. You're moving about. And that really does help you fidget and just forget about it. You're not overstressing it. You know, there's something else to do.
No, I like that. I haven't tried that.
And it's a lollipop, so it tastes good. You know what I'm saying?
Everyone loves a, who doesn't love a lollipop?
That's why they sell them, you know?
What about at like, you know, like special kind of celebratory events, like birthdays, Christmas or Easter, or when families are getting together, like what would you suggest for tools for that?
If you drive, if you're someone that has a car and you drive to places, drive to places, because then you can't drink. Like, think about it. Like, if you drive to somewhere and you can just say to people, oh, I can't really drink tonight, I'm driving home.
Mm.
And then that's it. You've got an issue. No one's going to question that. No one's going to say to you, oh, go on, just drunk drive. No one says one says that. You know what I mean? So that's actually a great way out if you drive. It's a fantastic one.
And also, like, you can, if you've got your car with you, if you're feeling overwhelmed, you can just go for a little drive. You can even make up an excuse like, oh, I just need to pop to the shop, or I just need to pop home to get something. Go for a little drive, get your tunes on, or get like a calming meditation on. Maybe not too calming if you're driving.
Yeah. But, no, that's a good point as well. Like, instead of, because maybe you don't have a car, but there's always somewhere you can go. Like, you can just say to someone, I need the toilet, and go into the bathroom for like 5 minutes and just breathe.
Mm.
Just take a moment. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes all it takes to get through something is to just have a little routine where you just say to yourself, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to get through this. And you just take 5 or 10 minutes to just chill. And then you can go back downstairs outside with a bunch of people and then you feel good again. Exactly. Sometimes that's all it takes.
The other day we were doing this, like, because it's coming to the end of the academic year. Like, I've still got the summer to do my dissertation. But in terms of uni, obviously it's exam season and then it's going to be the end of the academic year. So we had our final deadline, all of the master's philosophy students and some of the lecturers and some of the undergrad philosophy students and PhD students all got together at Frederick's, and we had the whole place to ourselves. It was really nice. We were going to have food as well. It was like a proper like event, and it was great. And I walked in and like I recognized most people, you know, because they're like from my course and I see them around campus and stuff. Like, I know most people, but everyone's kind of in their little groups sort of talking to each other, and I just felt so overwhelmed. I was like, oh my god, I feel like I should go and say hi to everyone that I know in this room, but also like I feel incredibly anxious and just like a little bit shy and not sure. And that kind of event would have been the exact kind of thing I would have had like 3 beers or a few glasses of wine before I went, and then I would have been on great form, you know what I mean? And but I couldn't do that, so I was just like, and also I wasn't in the like most chatty mood. So I was kind of just like, oh, I can't really be bothered to do this. And I wish I could. I was really looking forward to it as well. Like, I was really excited to hang out with all those people because I really liked them all. And my absolute saving grace was that basically the venue has these toilets, which are like, you know, you've got cubicle toilets, but you've got some toilets which are just like entirely separate little rooms.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just, so each cubicle was like a full on just floor to ceiling room. And I went and sat in there. There's quite a few toilets as well. I went and sat in there for like 15, 20 minutes at one point, just breathing, chilling, relaxing. Because also, like, socializing can be a bit draining as well. And I find sometimes you need a second. And it was just so nice because it was quite a big room as well. I was just like sitting on the floor in the bathroom. And I was like, people would think I'm having a meltdown right now. But actually, I'm not having a meltdown. I'm just having a minute.
You're just vibing, bro.
You're just vibing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, I think as well, like, it might be a bit awkward or difficult for some people to do that. So you can just tell someone that you're out with, like, you know, I'm feeling a bit weird. I'm just going to go take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all it takes as well, because a lot of people might, like, worry about you. They might think, like, oh, that person's having a breakdown. And you're not. You're just vibing. But they don't know that. So just telling someone, like we said earlier, just tell someone, I'm not going to drink tonight. Sometimes I just need 5 minutes alone.
Exactly.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Exactly. Another thing that I find helpful when you've got a kind of social thing to go to is what I call doing my own pre-drinks. I'm doing air quotes again, pre-drinks routine, which is obviously doesn't include drinking but
yeah,
it's like the equivalent, you know, like you people have pre-drinks to get themselves excited for the night, and I have my own little routine that gets me in the mood. So I try and hype myself up, I listen to music, I dance around, I do breathing exercises, I might do a little bit of exercise. And then have a cold shower and like do my makeup and like maybe have like a nice non-alcoholic drink and listen to tunes. And then I'm in like really good mood after that. And if I'm not in a good mood after that, then I usually just stay in and have a cup of tea, and that's also fine.
Mate, staying in and having a cup of tea is fucking sick, you know?
Yeah.
I love it so much. Sometimes it's better than just going on like a rowdy night out. You're like, do you know what, boys? I'm not even going to make an excuse. I just want to sit in and have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
If that's not all right, well, I'm not asked. This is what I want right now.
Yeah. So I think we should talk a little bit about stress as well, because that is kind of where we started.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how the hell are you meant to deal with stress?
That's what we're here to tell other people. We don't even know ourselves. No, we know ourselves. We've got something prepared. Honestly, we sort of briefly mentioned it before, but breathing. Breathing just really helps. There are loads of different ways that you can breathe. Like, we mentioned cold showers as well. We're really into Wim Hof. Wim Hof, what a fantastic guy.
Wim Hof is a great guy.
What a G. Shout out to Wim Hof.
He's not sponsoring us or anything. We just love him.
No, not at all. We just love him. Yeah. But he has so many different, like, breathing techniques that he teaches people and helps people just to get through stuff. And honestly, they really do help. There are loads
of them. And I have, I'm quite into, like, meditation and yoga and that kind of thing. So I have, you know, experimented, and you'd be surprised how many different kinds of breathing techniques there are. Like, you can do box breathing, which is in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four. And you do a few cycles of that, and that always helps me to calm down. There's lion breath, which is always fun. You can't see me, so you won't be able to see what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's probably good that people can't see, to be honest. Just Google it.
Like, you take your eyes, you look at your third eye or the point between your eyebrows, and you breathe in deeply, and then on your breath out, you stick your tongue out and go, I don't know if you'd be able to hear that. That was me sticking my tongue out and breathing outwards.
That's what that sounds like. If anyone ever wanted to know what that sounds like.
And then you've got Ujjayi breath as well, which is kind of like, imagine you're holding your hand in front of your face and you're trying to like fog it up as though it was a window like this. But then basically close your lips and try and do the same thing. You're not breathing out of your mouth anymore, obviously you're breathing out of your nose, but you're kind of trying to make that same feeling, and it's just a slight tightness in your throat. And it's called ocean breath because when you breathe in and out, because you've got this like restriction at the back of your throat, it kind of sounds like the ocean, and it can be very grounding and helpful. And also just like what we were talking before, and Joe was saying like, he's not into, you know, any of my fancy breath techniques, although I do think they're very good.
Who knew there were so many different ways to breathe, bro? Are you mad?
Honestly, that's just the surface. Like, you could go way more depth. But Joe was saying, like, just breathing as deeply and as slowly as you can. Like, yeah. Whatever that's like for you, you know?
Yeah, sometimes that's all it takes. Like, it can be a bit overwhelming or daunting, or just like you're new to this, all these different breathing techniques and whatnot. And it's like, right now I'm stressing. I don't have time to think about all these different breathing techniques. So just breathe as deeply as you can. If that's only 1 second in, 1 second out, and just keep doing that until you can do it for 2 seconds in and 2 seconds out. And then you'll get to 3 and 4. And before you know it, you will feel so much calmer, so much better. However it looks for you is fine.
Mm. Another very stressed relieving thing, which, you know, I feel like Joey, you should talk about this because you're the king of exercise.
The king of exercise, mate, you've been hyping me up quite a bit today. I'm liking this. Let's keep this going. Yeah, honestly, exercising is just fantastic. Like, ever since I was sober, my health journey has just gone up so much. Just working out more, lifting weights, going for a run, doing different martial arts at the gym, just swimming, yoga, anything. It is so good to get your body moving. It helps you deal with stress when you're all pent up and angry and you just like want to release everything that's inside of you. Lifting a weight as heavy as you can is a great way to do that, or just going for a run.
And one thing I like as well is when I'm panicking or feeling really triggered is that I always think to myself, move a muscle, move a thought. So if you're having like a repetitive kind of thought, just get up and move. Like, whether that's just standing up, literally anything, walking through a doorway as well. Something really interesting, which I read, I can't remember where I learned it. It might have actually been in Catherine Gray's book, but when you walk through a doorway, it like triggers forgetting in your mind. So if you're like panicked and overthinking something, walking through a doorway actually kind of helps your mind settle down. You kind of just like let go of like the thing you were just thinking.
Mate, that happens all the time. That literally happens all the time. But like, when I don't want it to happen, it only happens when I don't want it to happen. Like, I'll be in work and I'll have to go down to the basement to like get some stuff for the job that I do. And then I'll go downstairs and I'm thinking, what the fuck did I go down here for? Every single time.
That's why. That's the reason why walking through a doorway makes you forget stuff. And
it's magic.
It's so funny because since I found that out, that's happened to me a few times where I've like found something funny in like a bathroom or something, like someone's written some funny graffiti on it, and I've meant to tell like Tom or my friends or whoever, and I've come out and I've completely forgot, and then I've gone back into the same cubicle and been like, oh yeah, I completely forgot about that. It must have been because I walked through a doorway, and then I go walk back out again and I forgot again. So I never end up telling them.
Yeah, but I mean, just back onto exercise and whatnot, it's important to note you don't have to be a gymnast, a power lifter, an ultra marathon runner. Just do whatever you can. If that's 10, 5 push-ups, do whatever you can.
10 push-ups is a lot of push-ups, Joey. I can only do 10 push-ups.
Okay, well, that's a great amount of push-ups to do. Keep doing 10 until you can do 11. But yeah, you don't have to be a Greek god to do some working out or whatever. Just do whatever's easy for you.
Exercise is for everyone, and that doesn't matter how unfit you are. Like, there's this kind of stereotype that you have to be this amazing, sexy, toned kind of person. But no, like, that is not the thing. Do some star jumps, dance around your room, be a bit silly. Like, whatever you look like, however fit you are, honestly.
Yeah, just move about, get your body moving.
Kind of sum up our tools for triggers is a really positive one, but maybe, you know, quite an out there one, but just knowing that you're doing this for yourself and that you're doing this because you're wanting to grow as a person, you're wanting to change, you're wanting to learn how to deal with all of these things, you have reasons, you know, that you're doing it, and part of doing it is experiencing those triggers and having those hard times and figuring out the right tools. And that in itself is a tool, you know, reminding yourself of that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There are reasons that you're doing this. You don't just go sober for the fun of it. It is fun being sober, but there is still fun stuff you can do. But there's a reason why you're doing it. Remind yourself of that reason. Write that reason down. Like, I use an app called I Am Sober app.
And it's fantastic. I also use that app.
It's great, yeah. Like, it prompts you to write down the reasons that you're going sober, and then it'll just remind you every now and again, here's why you're doing this. And it's like, you know what? You're damn right. That's why I'm doing it. Yeah.
Do you want to hear my reasons from this exact app? So a year and a half ago, old Charlie, who was very down and depressed and drank a lot, wrote these reasons on the I Am Sober app. And I'll share them with you now. So I want to avoid shame. I want to be more productive. I want to be the person I think I am. I want to be healthier. I want to control my sensitivity and anxiety. I want to avoid suicidal thoughts. And I want to be kind to those who matter in my life. And I tell you what, since going sober, all of those things have come true. So
beautiful, beautiful.
There you go.
That is, it's honestly, it's one of the most amazing things in the world to write down the reasons why you're doing it and stick with that. There's always going to be a reason not to do something. Find a reason to do it and stick with that.
And looking back on it is so rewarding. Like for me, looking at all those reasons I wanted to do it and be like, shit, I've actually achieved those. Like I've done what I set out to do. Like that is incredibly rewarding. And all of those times you're triggered and all of the times you have to deal with that, they are just helping you to grow as a person.
That's exactly right. And that's literally what it is, growing as a person. But it's important to remind yourself as well, you don't have to get something out of it to be rewarded. It's about what you put into it.
Yeah.
I always tell myself this in every single thing that I do. It's about what I put into it. That's what I have to be proud of. Like I know with exams and everything going on recently, all I can do is the best I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm happy with that. Like at the end of the day, if when I get my exam results back, I don't get the exact grade that I wanted, I can still be proud of myself for everything that I put into it, all the time that I put into it, all the sacrifices mm-hmm. that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's honestly such a beautiful thing. It means you're growing, you're becoming stronger.
Yeah. And honestly, yeah, even just, if nothing changes and you get nothing out of it, think about everything that you've put into it. That's not nothing. That still matters. That still means something. You're doing great.
Like
just or not, wherever you're at, you're doing your best. You're doing great. You got
damn
this.
Damn straight. Like, just think to yourself, a year from now, did you even consider going sober, stopping drinking? But now here you are even considering it.
Yeah.
And think as well, like, you're on a night out and you're not drinking. Did the old you ever think that you'd be doing that? That is something to be proud of. You have grown so much. Just thinking about it. Just listening to this podcast.
Yeah, honestly, just listening to this podcast means something. It matters. And you should be proud of yourself for that, for sure.
It's a step in the right direction, 100%.
Thank you all so much for listening. This has been Young and Sober. We will see you again this time-ish next month for another takeover. Follow us on Instagram at alcoholfreepod. My Instagram is at @drymartina_. And I have no idea what Joey's is.
Mine is Joey W. That's Joey with two Y's and then double and then the letter U. Give us a follow the podcast. Tune in next week as well. We've always got episodes coming out.
Great guests coming up all the time. And we look forward to hearing you. Give us a message. And yeah, peace out.
'Hello, this is Ben, and you've come to the end of another fabulous episode of Over the Influence. If you enjoyed it and your podcast app lets you leave a rating or a review, please could you do that for us? A 5-star rating would be fabulous, a written review even better. Basically, by leaving a review or giving us a rating, you're helping other people to find us, because it's something to do with algorithms and podcast apps, and I'm not quite sure how it works, but essentially you actively engaging with us and leaving your written review or leaving us your 5 stars lets other people know that this podcast is great and that they should listen to it. As you know, we're all about shouting about the joys of sobriety from the rooftops here at Over the Influence, and we want to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol to see how it makes them feel. So again, please leave us a rating and a review. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.